I'm Bill Johnson from Bethel Church here in Redding, California. First of all, I wanted to say thank you to the countless numbers of people around the world that have been praying with us for the miracle that we need this week. Saturday, just a few days ago, we had a great tragedy. One of the key individuals in our world, their two-year-old little girl, died quite unexpectedly, just out of nowhere. And so we've been praying for the miracle of God. Mom and Dad, Andrew and Callie, have asked us to pray for resurrection. We've joined with them. We have a biblical precedent. Jesus raised the dead. Jesus raised the dead. Not only that, he introduced himself as the resurrection and the life. In fact, in John 11, verse 40, he says, "If you believe, you will see the glory of God." And so seeing what Jesus has accomplished, what he did in his lifetime, and then when you add to that, that he commanded his followers, his disciples, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devils, to cleanse lepers. None of those are things that we can actually do. And yet he commanded us because somehow in our yes, he gives us the ability to carry out his mission.
And one time I was laying on the floor, actually it was in this room, I'm laying on the floor, and in a vision, in an encounter with God, in a vision, Jesus picks me up and holds me so close that I can't see anything. And he holds me so close, and Jesus starts to weep. And he says, "Please forgive me. Please forgive me." I said, "What are you talking about? Please forgive you." He said, "When that pastor hurt you, it's as if I hurt you. Because he's a member of my body."
In this journey, we've had the Lord show up and do a number of amazing things. One of the prominent things that we've seen in these years is the healing of people's bodies, the deliverances from torment, restoration of families, all those kinds of things have been so extraordinary, so amazing. Occasionally we have unusual things happen that I don't take a service for. I just don't. I'll make reference and then I leave it alone. And that's typically my response to the signs that make you wonder. And it would be about 15 or maybe 14 years ago, somewhere in that area, 14 years ago probably, that feathers started just appearing and falling in meetings. And then they started falling in our homes and in restaurants and things like that, just unusual things. You know, there are signs that make you wonder. There are people say, "Where's that in the Bible?" Well, he said he'd cover you with his feathers.
This is Apologetics Profile, a podcast from Watchman Fellowship Incorporated. Here is your host, staff apologist Daniel Ray.
The clips you just heard come from Bethel Church in Redding, California. Two quotes from the lead pastor, Bill Johnson, and one from youth leader Chris Dahl. The first clip featured Pastor Bill Johnson from December of 2019, speaking about the church's attempts at praying for the resurrection of a toddler who tragically and unexpectedly died several days earlier. While there is certainly nothing unbiblical about praying for God to do a miracle, within the context of Bethel's doctrines, members are taught that they can acquire the power to do such works and that such miracles should be the norm for true followers of Christ. Bethel even has a school of supernatural ministry that trains people in how to acquire such supernatural gifts and abilities. Sadly, the efforts made by Johnson and his congregation did not result in the child being raised from the dead. The second clip comes from youth pastor Chris Dahl in 2015, explaining how he had been hurt by another fellow Christian. He tells the story of how he had a vision of Jesus asking him for forgiveness. Though Dahl clarifies in the video Jesus did not sin, there is absolutely no biblical warrant for the sinless Lord Jesus Christ to be asking for anyone's forgiveness. But the emphasis at Bethel on miracles, visions, and prophecies creates an environment where the supernatural insights, direct revelations from God, signs and wonders and visions are to be expected. These kinds of phenomena are what launched Bethel's growth to its present 11,000-member congregation. The third clip is that of Johnson speaking of feathers falling in worship services and in other places where Bethel members gathered. There are also online videos of Bethel services where a glory cloud of some kind of dust or golden glitter is visible. Johnson attributes these clouds to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, it's just signs that make you wonder. And it's really a big deal that we have things we can't explain or understand or control. I've wondered if it's okay for us to run to a corner of a room and stand and watch and take pictures. I think he rather enjoys it. I think he, as long as we don't prostitute it for our glory, as long as we give him glory and celebrate, it feels like children, you know, just discovering him. You know, we don't seek for signs, but we don't ignore them either. It's kind of dumb if he shows up in a cloud, you go, I don't want to be distracted. I invite all of his distractions.
So what are we to make of these things? On part two of our conversation with Holly Pivick, we unpack these and other aspects of the doctrines and practices of Bethel Church and examine them in light of biblical doctrine. Here again is Watchman Senior Apologist Brady Blevins.
I am Brady Blevins, and welcome again to Apologetics Profile. We're picking up on our second part of our conversation with Holly Pivick. Holly is an author, has written a couple of books. You'll see those in the notes, as well as a profile for us on Bethel Church. In our last time that we talked about Bill Johnson, the senior pastor, lead pastor at Bethel Church in Redding, California. We talked about what the New Apostolic Reformation is and their views as they're examined in terms of Pentecostal or historic charismatic beliefs. So if you're interested in that or you missed part one, you'll definitely want to go back and check that out, because Holly really set a great foundation for us. And so I'm happy to have you back, Holly. If you missed her introduction in the last time, she has a master's degree from Biola University. And we are just absolutely really blessed to have her with us. So welcome back, Holly.
Thanks so much. Glad to be back.
Well, thank you. Now, in our last conversation, we left off and kind of left the cliffhanger here about this whole issue of miracles. And you had mentioned this in our last conversation. And of course, I understand that healings are a big part of what Bill Johnson and Bethel Church claim to be able to do. And I want to ask you to speak to some of those alleged miracles that have happened. But I can't help but to notice that we're in the midst of a worldwide pandemic, and I don't see Bethel leading the way with healings. I see Pfizer, I see Moderna with vaccinations, but I'm not seeing these healings that are taking place. I just can't believe that there are just millions of people with insufficient faith to receive healing from Bethel Church. Talk to us about these miracles.
Yeah, so yeah, the point you raised about COVID-19 is really interesting, because at Bethel, every every week before they take their tithes and offerings on Sunday, they recite declarations.
All right, let's read this together. Make the decree, then we'll receive our offering. As we receive today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And one of the declarations they often recite is, everywhere I go becomes a perfect health zone. And right after COVID started, people started becoming aware of COVID. They recited this, and Bill Johnson gave a sermon from Psalm 91 about how his followers could make declarations so that they could, he implied that they could avoid catching COVID. But interestingly, there was a major outbreak, over 300 cases reported associated with Bethel Church and Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry of COVID. So their prophets falsely prophesied that COVID would be brought to an end. Sean Bolts is closely associated with Bethel Church in Reading. And when he was in South Africa back in February 2020, he was speaking with Bill Johnson. And he said, the Lord showed me the end of coronavirus. The tide is turning now. He also told Fox News, it's not going to be the pandemic that people are afraid of. And so Bethel leaders were teaching that they were actually Bethel apostles and leaders were making declarations to bring about an end of COVID. Obviously, that didn't happen. And so none of their apostles or prophets foresaw COVID either coming at the very beginning of 2020. So it's been a very bad year for the prophets of Bethel Church and the NAR prophets in general for these reasons. But so they claim that people are healed regularly at Bethel Church of, say, cancer. I don't know, Brady, if you heard about Nabil Qureshi, who was associated with Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. And he went to Bethel multiple times after he was diagnosed with advanced stomach cancer, received prophecies that he would be healed. And sadly, he wasn't healed. He died. So despite their claims that healings are happening there all the time, that was an example of a very high profile person that many people were following who had received prophecies from Bethel leaders and at Bethel Church that he would be healed. And sadly, that didn't happen.
And that's really disappointing, because what I see this, and this is something that we deal with at Watchman Fellowship, is the fallout of what happens when people are deceived by false teaching. And in this case, this is false prophecy. I mean, you make a prophecy. I mean, the Bible's crystal clear in what it takes to be a true prophet of God. You got about 1,000. And when this kind of stuff happens, it does so much damage to people and their ability. I mean, some people will leave the faith over stuff like this, and it really is, I mean, it's heartbreaking to me. And in this case, especially, I mean, I didn't know Nabil personally. I'd read all of his books. I definitely admired him and the work that he had done. And as somebody who speaks on Islam, I thought he did just an absolutely phenomenal job in being able to explain it. But you know, here's a guy that a lot of people look up to. It's very high profile, like you said. And they obviously there were false prophecies concerning his recovery. But with that said, and I know people will explain things away, you got to have some hits along the way. So what kind of prophecies were they, I guess, allegedly hitting on that caused their popularity to really go from 1,000 to now 11,000 people?
I would say the biggest thing that really caused them to skyrocket wasn't a prophecy. It was the glory clouds that were allegedly appearing at the church. So during worship services, a number of times, let's see here, I'm looking at my notes. So video came out on YouTube of these kind of like glittery kind of particles floating in the air during worship services. And it happened during 2011, 2012, allegedly many times, dozens of times. And so Bethel church leaders saw it as the glory cloud as a sign of God's presence. Critics of the church suggested that it was a publicity stunt, that somebody was putting glitter like in the ducts of the air conditioner vents or something. Or some people thought it was just maybe light shining through like sweat particles in the air or something. So there's been all kinds of explanations for what this phenomenon could have been. But this phenomenon really caused Bethel Church back in 2011, 2012 to skyrocket. And that's when it kind of burst on the scene and many, many more Christians became aware of the church. There are claims that angel feathers would just start falling from the ceiling. There were claims of wind, like unexplained gusts of wind occurring in the church. And Bill Johnson referred to all these things, the glory cloud, the gusts of wind, the angel feathers, as signs that make you wonder, is what he called them. And so, there have been all kinds of things like that reported at the church.
Well, that might be accurate to say that they're signs that make you wonder, because it definitely does have me wondering, but maybe not the same thing that he was thinking. Now, there's some other, shall we say, questionable things that are going on. And that's some of the Bethel members have taken part of a very controversial practice called grave soaking or grave sucking. Can you explain to our audience what that practice is, what it's all about, and why we as believers may not be wanting to take part in it?
Right. So what happened was there were students from Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, also some leaders at Bethel Church, including one of the pastors at the time, Ben Fitzgerald, and Bill Johnson's wife, Benny Johnson. Some photos came out of these students going to graveyards, and they would like either lie on top of the gravestones or lean against them or like lay prostrate in front of these tombstones and grave markers. And the idea was they would base this practice on 2 Kings 13:21. It's this kind of obscure, little known verse, you know, in 2 Kings where there's a dead man and he's put in the grave where Elisha, the prophet Elisha, was buried. And when his bones and when his body's put in the grave, it immediately comes back to life. And so they based the practice on that verse. And what they would say is they would go to specifically to the grave sites of well-known miracle workers like Catherine Kuhlman. She was an American healing evangelist, or the British healing evangelist Smith Wigglesworth, and different people like that. And they would go to their graves and try to suck up the anointing, or basically suck up their miraculous powers. And so that they could also become miracle workers like these people. And what happened when this came to light, it was very obviously very controversial. And Bill Johnson, some Bethel leaders denied that they ever promoted this practice, that the Bethel leaders ever took part in this practice. But the problem with that is anybody can go online right now, do a quick Google search, look up photos of Benny Johnson or Ben Fitzgerald. There's a YouTube video of him with Bethel students engaging in grave soaking, and he was a pastor at the church at the time. And so even though they've denied that they've promoted this practice and have since distanced themselves from, and it's very concerning that it ever was a practice and that leaders of the church were also involved with it.
But you know, what you see in this is almost a pattern in their hermeneutic. It would make sense given how they view the office, if you will, of the apostle, and how they interpret that they would take an obscure passage out of, you know, First Kings and really kind of take it and run with it as if it's something that we're commanded to do in Scripture. I mean, or that if maybe not commanded, but we're extremely encouraged to do, when in which case that I think that as we look at the First Kings passage, this is something more of a description and not a prescription. This is just telling us what's happened. Would you say that's a pretty fair conclusion?
Yeah, and I would say you're right. And what they do is they'll cherry pick verses like that and create a practice out of them. And so it's a very concerning way of approaching Scripture. And also the idea that they're always looking for shortcuts to spiritual power. You know, the idea that you could lay on this grave and it would be a shortcut to getting spiritual power, you know, whereas we know in Scripture that the way we grow in our relationship with God and grow in our effectiveness for Him is through Bible reading and prayer and fellowship with other believers and these practices, not these quick shortcuts they're seeking.
It reminds me of, what's his name? Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts, who said, "Hey, how much is it to purchase this Holy Spirit, you know, what would it take to get that, you know?"
Right.
Just kind of the image that pops in my mind. Now, I think a discussion of Bethel would be incomplete if we didn't talk about maybe, I don't know if it's the best known aspect of Bethel, or at least it's definitely the one part of Bethel that I think's had the most contact with Christianity as a whole. And of course, I'm talking about Bethel music. And I know I've been asked by a couple of different pastors, hey, should we even be singing Bethel music in our worship services? And of course, it always gives me a little bit of drawback to go to, wow, you know, you're the pastor. I appreciate you asking, though. But talk to me just a little bit about Bethel music.
Right. So Bethel music, extremely popular, used by churches around the world, even very conservative churches, Baptist churches, you know, non-denominational churches. Here's the thing, though. I would say that Bethel music and all NAR music really falls on a spectrum, and it's all dangerous, but for different reasons. So on one end of the spectrum, you have NAR music that can be very overt in its lyrics. I literally heard people once at an NAR event singing a song about apostles and prophets, modern day apostles and prophets. It was very bizarre. I haven't really heard that since, but of course that's obviously dangerous, right? But then I would say there's music kind of in the middle of the spectrum that most Bethel music or a lot of Bethel music falls into. And that music is laced with NAR jargon and terminology. The uninitiated usually don't catch it. And so that music's often used in churches that are not NAR churches because people just don't catch the NAR teachings that are laced throughout it. For example, some of the lyrics will talk about things like we're calling down the reign of heaven, and people miss the fact that this is a reference to making declarations and that will bring God's physical kingdom to earth. Or there's a line in one of their songs, they're singing about the greater things. And what that's a reference to is their belief that all Christians can learn to work greater miracles than Jesus worked based on their understanding of John 14:12. And so a lot of these teachings are laced throughout the music. And what it does is people that aren't part of the NAR won't catch these teachings and they'll sing these songs innocently, but they're being primed to later accept these teachings when they are introduced to them down the road. And there's a theological framework that's being kind of formed in their minds about, you know, that opens them up to the idea of maybe we are to set up God's physical kingdom on earth. And, you know, and so there's that. And then there's on the other end of the spectrum, there's music that a lot of Bethel music that may sound okay. Honestly, the words don't sound like they go against Scripture at all. But the problem when churches use that music is it gives an implicit pass. It's tacit approval from the church leaders that Bethel Church is actually an okay church. And a lot of times young people will listen to Bethel music. They love it. They go research who produced the music. That's when they learn about Bethel Church in Reading. And then they decide to make a trip out to Bethel Church in Reading. And that's when they go deeper into the teaching. So the music is really a gateway drug for going into the New Apostolic Reformation movement.
Well, you know, one of my biggest fears as a pastor was that people would learn their theology off Christian radio, because there's a lot of really good songs out there, but there's a lot of songs that get a lot of play on Christian radio that are actually teaching heresy. At worst and at absolute best, it's leading you to believe something that's not quite right about Scripture. And I mean, you could see this. This church must be okay that produced this music. Otherwise, my pastor would never allow it on the stage. And so you could see how it, I like the way you described that as a gateway drug into the Bethel church teaching. And I think one of the things that they would find, and you mentioned this, I believe in our first part of our discussion, that, you know, Bethel is more than just a church. They are more than just a producer of music, but you also have the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. And I know you just briefly mentioned that in part one, but if you could talk a little bit more about what they're doing at this school.
Yeah, so I think I already mentioned they have about 2,500 students enrolled each year. They've had well over 10,000 graduates now that have gone out and taken their teachings and brought them back to their own churches throughout the world. And what they do is it's you can go for up to 3 years, and you go there really to learn to work miracles, to learn these Bethel NAR teachings. And so it's been called the Christian Hogwarts. Actually, students themselves fondly referred to it as the Christian Hogwarts, the school, you know, the Harry Potter school. Mm-hmm. And the students have been known to engage in things like trying to levitate pennies and, you know, engage in these kind of things. Now, Bethel leaders would say that they didn't encourage like the practices of trying to levitate pennies, but they encourage many New Age type practices there, and they teach them practices that have much more in common with the New Age and the occult than with biblical Christianity. And this includes not just at the school, but the church teaches that all Christians need to be activated into miraculous gifts. And so the idea is that all Christians can learn to work miracles. All Christians can learn to prophesy. They just need to engage in these activation exercises. And one example of an activation exercise I observed at the church during the adult Sunday school class or fire starters class is they would call people to the front of the room who had never prophesied before. And they would have them come up and they would say, okay, say whatever words pop into your head as a word, a prophetic word of God for someone in the room, a stranger that you don't know. And so it was really almost like more like cold reading or something like that. Or sometimes they'll have students stand like back to back and they won't know who's on the other side of them. And then one of the students will ask God, well, tell me the person's birthday or what color shirt the person is wearing or what their favorite movie is. And then they'll say what they think they heard God told them and ask the other person if that's right. And they're taught not to worry if they get it wrong. It's part of the process of learning to prophesy. But there's been a lot of controversy with this Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry because students have been known to take in part to go to psychic fairs, and they'll basically set up booths, kind of like psychic tents, and they'll tell people to come, and they kind of make it like they're giving psychic readings, but they're really giving prophetic words from God. And there was real controversy when it came out that a number of these students were using something called destiny cards, which are really kind of like Christianized versions of tarot cards, which they were using to tell people about their future and things like that. So there's a lot of controversial practices associated with the school, but the really disturbing thing is that the people that go to Bethel to get their training at Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry include even people like missionaries from mainstream missions organizations. When it's time for them to get further training, sometimes they'll go to Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry to get their training, and their sending organization seems oblivious or not concerned that this is the training they're getting and then bringing back on the mission field.
this is nothing more than the occult wrapped in Christian terms is what it sounds like.
Right. And there are many other New Age occult teachings that have been promoted by Bethel leaders, including telepathy, necromancy, teleportation. The idea, you know, telepathy is mind reading. Teleportation is the idea that you can travel from one place to another, like to another country, not physically, but necessarily, but in your mind, and you can observe things that are happening in other parts of the world, or maybe spy on world leaders and their meetings and things like that. And necromancy, of course, is communication with the dead. And so these are all different practices that have been promoted by leaders at Bethel.
That is, it's mind blowing. You know, we could probably talk a lot longer about some of the different doctrines and stuff that are key teachings in Bethel Church. I know you mentioned just a few moments ago when we were talking about the music, you alluded to one of the key doctrines, which is bringing heaven to earth. Could you tell us maybe a little bit about that?
Yeah, that would really be like what I call the hallmark teaching of Bethel Church. And it's really the hallmark of Bill Johnson's teaching in Revelation. It's that it's a task of the church to bring heaven to earth. In other words, they would say it's Bill Johnson would say it's the primary assignment of Christians to make earth like heaven. So whatever's in heaven, it's God's will for earth to be like that. Since there's no sickness in heaven, there should be no sickness on earth. There's no poverty in heaven, there should be no poverty on earth, and no disease, you know, etc. And so and the way that you make heaven reflect earth is by making these declarations, by speaking words that are believed to create reality. And so that's how they view the Lord's Prayer. Is really it's a mandate to the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:9-13 is a mandate to bring heaven to earth, and to do so through making declarations. They would see that what you see modeled in the Lord's Prayer is declarations.
Wow. And with prayer, I know that this they also have this key teaching of the binding and loosing prayer. How does that play out or walk hand in hand with bringing heaven to earth?
Right. They would say that binding and loosing prayer is we bind the works of Satan. That can include sickness, addictions, fear, you know, troubled family relationships, poverty. And it also seeks to loose God's blessings. So that could be health, strong marriages, successful businesses, you know, prosperous finances. So Bill Johnson teaches that the Lord's Prayer shows that binding and loosing prayer is the focus for all prayer, and that the authority to bind and loose comes from Matthew 16:19, where Jesus gives Peter, one of his 12 disciples, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And so he would say that that's where the authority comes from to bind and loose. And the way we do that is through our spoken words.
Well, believe it or not, but our time is just about up again. And so I want to ask you really just one last question. And if there's anything in addition that I've missed or you want to tack on, by all means, feel free to do so. But what do you see as the greatest danger Bethel Church, and by extension, their senior pastor, Bill Johnson, poses for Christians and Christianity as a whole?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. What I would say is Bill Johnson, Bethel teaching, and NAR teaching at large, what it does is it makes people dependent on the apostles and prophets for everything. They're dependent on their revelations in order to experience intimacy with God, to know God's will, to experience healing, to learn to work miracles, to fulfill their destiny. Literally everything. Believers become dependent on the apostles and prophets for all of those things.
That is that is scary when you think about it, because people, you know, one of the things we like to say here at Watchmen is that deception has nothing to do with intelligence. And any of us are subject to falling into deception at any time. And really the only way that we can protect against that is by strengthening and developing our relationship with God, growing in his word, taking the time to pray and really seek God's face and understanding of what's going on. And I guess if you have somebody who you've been told is this great apostle of God and has this office in place where they are to direct you, you're to follow their directions, it just seems like it's really ripe for even further deception.
Right. And disillusionment, as you mentioned, many people become disillusioned when the promises by these apostles and prophets don't pan out, when, you know, when the person isn't healed, when their child isn't saved from dying or whatever. And then also the church is witnessed to a watching world is really harmed by this movement. There are mocking videos on YouTube mocking the failed prophecies of these apostles and prophets, like about Donald Trump being reelected, literally have received millions of views. One's called Evangelicals Freaking Out. And it's mocking all evangelicals based on the actions of the crazy antics and prophecies of these apostles and prophets. And so really our ability to share the gospel going forth is really hurt by this movement.
And I think it also speaks to the necessity for us to know about the NAR, to know the New Apostolic Reformation, to know about Bethel Church and Bill Johnson and know those things that they're doing, so that when we do have the opportunity to share the gospel and somebody says, oh, you're probably one of those crazy people that, you know, you believe angel feathers probably fall down at your worship. We're not sitting there, you know, dumbfounded going, man, what are they talking about? Or, hey, what do you think that you can perform a miracle? What are you talking about? No, that's what Christians believe. No. That's what a group of people who claim to be following the Bible is teaching. But let me tell you the difference. I think that just speaks to really why this was an important profile for us to have in our profile notebook. Also why it's so important that if you haven't already done so, that you check out Holly's other two books, because listen, this is the only way that you're going to be able to spot a fake is to know the genuine and to spend that time. And her books and this profile does a great job of helping you to be able to know where the counterfeit is. But more importantly, as we wrap it up, to know what the Bible says about these things. And that's absolutely important. Well, Holly, is there anything else you want to add before we sign off?
No, just last thing. I do have a blog. It was spiritoferror.org, but I moved it over to hollypivick.com. And if you go to hollypivick.com, you can search. I have tons and tons of articles about many aspects of Bethel Church and the New Apostolic Reformation that people could go look at the search feature and read about many different aspects of this movement.
Well, thank you so much, Holly. And we will make sure that hollypivick.com is in the notes also of the podcast. That way you can check it out and be ready to take that in and get some knowledge on this subject. So, well, Holly, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much, Brady. I really appreciate it.
And we'll look forward to the next time we get to talk with you, or who knows, maybe another profile coming down the pike. And it was definitely a pleasure getting to talk with you today, and also about this time last year, getting the opportunity to work through that profile as well. So, on behalf of Apologetics Profile and Watchman Fellowship, I'm Brady Blevins, and we'll look forward to seeing you on our next podcast.
Who is my neighbor? Maybe they are atheists, Latter-day Saints, Jehovah's Witnesses, or Muslims. What do I say to them? How can I share my faith with them? Watchman.org has a wealth of resources available to equip you to better understand your non-Christian neighbors. Watchman Fellowship offers the Profile Notebook, a comprehensive resource packed with over 500 pages of information on other religions, cults, New Age spirituality, and a host of other non-Christian movements and ideas. Each profile consists of 4 pages and offers comprehensive insights between the truth of the Christian faith and these other religions and belief systems. Be sure to check out some of the samples of the Profile Notebook at watchman.org today.